Today's daf is Erevin daf Mem Hey. We left off on daf Mem Dalet Amud Beis. We are about to discuss, or we just started to discuss, the concept of Havla'as Tchumin. Once we finish discussing Havla'as Tchumin, we're going to discuss whether the Mishnah allows the person who went on a rescue mission. Remember, at the end of the daf yesterday, we discussed about someone who's Yotze Lahatzil, who goes out to rescue somebody. So whether he's allowed to go all the way back to his original Tchum, or is he limited to the 2,000 Amos from his new location? The Mishnah seemed to have given different indications of which is the true Halacha. Then the Mishnah discusses whether somebody started Shabbos with within 2,000 amos of a city, but didn't realize that he was within 2,000 amos of a city. Does he take on the tchum of that city, or does he just have to measure 2,000 amos from where he is? And then the Mishnah on the very bottom of Amud Aleph discusses whether a sleeping person is granted a tchum of 2,000 amos, or he's limited to 4 amos, and a machlokas tanaim, how to measure the 4 amos, and the Mishnah gives several details of how people who have overlapping areas of 4 amos may be able to relate to each other, to bring things to each other. So the and then at the end of the daf, the Gemara discusses whether Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri holds that nichse hefker, things that are completely ownerless, also get a tchum of 2,000 amos if it's exactly the same as a sleeping person, or maybe there's reason to be mechalik between a sleeping person versus nichse hefker. So let's again pick up from the issues of havla'as tchumin that we left off with. The Gemara had said two explanations of what it means, what the Mishnah means when it says im hayu b'toch hatchum ki ilu lo yatsa, that if we said that a person goes out berishos, he had reason to go out of the tchum for a dvar mitzvah, whatever it was for, and it turns out that he's not needed, so then he gets 2,000 amos. And we said, but if he was betocha tchum, then it's as if he didn't leave. So we had two explanations what that means. If he was betocha tchum, it's kilu he didn't leave. Rabba said, very simply, it means that if he never left the tchum Shabbos, he was on his way out and he found out that he wasn't needed, and he had never even left the tchum Shabbos, so then he still retains the tchum of that he started Shabbos with. The Gemara said the problem with that is that it's very obvious that that should be the case. So the Gemara says, no, you might have thought that once he's oker is makom shvisa, so he no longer has his original tchum. Kamash malan, that since he physically never left that tchum, that's why he still has it. But the second explanation of the Mishnah is Rav Simi Bar Chiya, who says that no, what it means to say is that since he gets to measure 2,000 amos from where he is, if those 2,000 amos overlap with his original Tchum Shabbos, then he gets back his original Tchum. He's allowed to go to the 2,000 Amos to his original Tchum Shabbos, and once he's in his original Tchum Shabbos, he can go throughout the entire city, and he can go back to his original status from the beginning of Shabbos. So what's this machlokas about? So says the Gemara, they're arguing about Havla'as Tchumin. Is overlapping Tchumin something that is halachically significant? Does the fact that his new Tchum of 2,000 Amos overlap with his old tchum, bring back his old tchum or not? So we had said that's the machlokas. So says the Gemara, we are up to five lines at the bottom of the page, on Mem Dalet and Beis. Amar Abaye l'Rabba v'at lo tizbro davlas tchumin milsi. Do you not hold that avlas tchumin is something that matters? Uma ilu shavas b'ma'ara shebetocha arba'as alafim v'al gaga pachos me'arba'as alafim. If a person begins Shabbos inside a cave, an underground cave, that the cave from one end to the other end is more than 4,000 amos, and on the roof of the cave it's less than 4,000 amos. That if you look at the picture in Rashi over there, you see the walls of the cave slant inward, so on the bottom it's more than 4,000 amos, but on the top of the cave it's less than 4,000 amos. Lo nimtza mahalichas kula v'chutzula alpayim amma. Don't we allow him to walk throughout the entire area of the cave plus an additional 2,000 amos beyond the area of the cave? And isn't this because of the concept of havla'as tchumin? If you look at Rashi, umay ilu shavas b'maros shetocha dalet alafim al gago pachs midalet alafim lo nimtza kolomar iyat hamodesh mahalichas gago v'chutzula alpayim lekol tzad. He's allowed to walk throughout the entire roof of the cave, the entire area directly over the cave, plus 2,000 amos. Stam ma'ara beis psachim yeshla bebeis kitzvul seha. We assume that a cave has two openings, one on each end. Pesach l'mizrach u'pesach l'marav. Mi pesach ha'mizrach nosin l'chutzlo l'tzad mizrach alpayim u'l'tzad gaga alpayim. V'chem ni pesach ha'marav nosin chutzlo l'tzad ha'marav alpayim u'l'tzad gaga alpayim. So from each pesach of the cave, inside the cave is not a shaila, because inside the cave is like being inside a house. So he certainly could walk throughout the entire inside of the cave. The point is, though, that we measure a tchum of 2,000 amos from each entrance of the cave. Because those 2,000 amos overlap with each other on the top of the cave, meaning if you go out the eastern side of the cave and you measure 2,000 amos in all directions, and you go out the western side of the cave and you measure 2,000 amos in all directions, since the area on top of the cave is less than 4,000 amos, it's going to be muvla. The two sets of 2,000 amos are going to overlap with each other on top of the cave. And therefore we say he gets both tchumei Shabbos because of havla. So don't you see that we hold to the concept of Avlas Tchumen? Isn't everyone moda that you have a concept of Avlas Tchumen? So back in the Gemara, Amar Lei, so he said back to him, V'lo shani lach ben hechad de Shavas b'avim mechitzos mibod yom. Lecha de lo Shavas b'avim mechitzos mibod yom. Don't you see the difference between that case and our case? In that case, you started Shabbos inside the cave. So the Avlas Tchumen was already there when Shabbos started. In our case, this second Tchum that you have only happened because you ended up outside of your original tchum. That happened on Shabbos. So when you started Shabbos, you only had one tchum. There was no havlas tchum, and that's the difference. So frak the gemara vehecha de lo shavas lo. And if you didn't start Shabbos in the with the havlas tchum, would we not say havlas tchum? Vatanan Reb Lazar amar shtayim yikanes gimel lo yikanes. Reb Lazar holds if a person goes two amos beyond his tchum Shabbos, so he's still allowed to re-enter his tchum Shabbos. But if he goes three amos beyond his tchum Shabbos, he's not allowed to re-enter his tchum Shabbos. We're going to see later in the Mishnah on the bottom of the daf that Rabbi Lezer holds that when we say we give a person dalet amos, we already discussed this, that when we say that Rabbi Lezer holds to give a person dalet amos, it doesn't mean dalet amos in any direction. It means hu be'emtza'an. He's in the middle of the dalet amos, so he can go two amos in any direction. So therefore, says Rabbi Lezer, if a guy walks outside of his tchum and he's within two amos of his tchum, so then he's allowed to go back into his tchum because he gets the dalet amos, so he gets to walk two amos in the direction of his tchum, and once he's back in there, so now he gets his old tchum back. So don't you see Rabbi Lezer is holding the concept of havla'as tchumin, even though this happened on Shabbos that he walked outside of his tchum. So my lover, Reb Lazar Tamei, Domer Bubeh Amtsan, Va'arba Amos Diavolei Rabbanon, Kiman Demivla Andamu. Isn't this Reb Lazar L'shitaso that the way we measure the Dalet Amos is Hubeh Amtsan with the guy in the middle, and therefore this is like Havla'as Tchum and his new Tchum of Dalet Amos and his old Tchum that he had with the city overlap each other. V'kamer Yikanes, and we say he's allowed to go back in. Alma Havla'as Tchum and Milsihi. So you see Havla'as Tchum and Milsihi, even when it just happens on Shabbos, when the Avlas Tchumen just begins on Shabbos, Samle Rabba Barbrachana Labaye Umid Rav Lazar Kamasavas Leilamar. You're asking me a kasha based on Rav Lazar Shita. Who holds like Rav Lazar? The Rabbanon disagree with Rav Lazar, so we hold like the Rabbanon. Amalei in the Shmuel Minei Demar Ad Kan Lo Pligi Rabbanon Leid Rav Lazar El Dvar Rishus Al Dvar Mitzvah Modulei. Yeah, because I know that the Rabbanon are modded to Rav Lazar when you go to Dvar Mitzvah, and our Mishnah is talking about a guy was Yotzei Birushus. What does Yosef Birushus mean? When do you ever have permission to leave your Tchum Shabbos? It must be that it was for a Dvar Mitzvah. And we still said, Rabbi still wanted to say that the Avlas Tchumen will be ineffective, that there won't be a Avlas Tchumen. That when we say that Rabbi wanted to say, it just means that if he never ever left the Tchum, he still retains the Tchum. But the second he leaves, there's no Avlas Tchumen does not take effect. So you see, this is a kasha. The Gemara leaves it with a kasha on Rabbah. How could Rabbah say there's no din of Havlas Tchumen? You can't give me the idea that there's no din of Havlas Tchumen because it wasn't there when Shabbos started. We see even when it's not there when Shabbos started from Rabbi Lazar that Havlas Tchumen is still something that is significant and that we pay attention to. Now it's interesting, we say Rabbi Lazar says that if you go two amos outside of Tchum, you're allowed to go back. Is that called Havlas Tchumen? Rabbi Lazar holds you get Dalet Amos and Hube Emtsan, which means that you get to go two amos in any direction. So if you are exactly two amos beyond the tchum, they're not really muvla. They're no shake. They're kissing up against each other, but they're not really. There's no havlas. Tchumen. So Rashi seems to assume, yeah, that even if you go 2 amos outside of Tchum, you're allowed to go back into the Tchum, because they're dvukos, the Tchum, they're attached to each other. Having Tchumen attached is the same thing as having Havla'as Tchumen. A group of other Rishonim, however, disagree. The Ritva, Rabbeinu Peretz, the Rashba, Tosfos Rid, a group of other Rishonim say, now, Rablas, it doesn't mean the person left Mamish 2 amos outside of Tchum b'diyuk, that he was exactly 2 amos outside of Tchum. Means he went a little bit less, a drop less than 2 amos outside of Tchumen, therefore it creates a sense of Avla'as Tchumen. But Neshikas Tchumen would not be matir a person to go back into his original Tchum. So that's the question, how meduyak are we being in this Gemara? Okay, says the Gemara Vayta, now we're at the two dots on Memhei Amar Aleph. V'kol ha-yotzen l'hatzil chozrun l'mekomen. So the Mishnah had said that anyone who's yotzeh l'hatzil, anyone who goes out for Hatzala, to go save somebody for a salvation mission, is allowed to come back to the original location. So we discussed yesterday a little bit the machlokas from Moshe from Shlomo Zalman about how to apply this, or if we should apply this to our current day Hatzalah people. So anyway, so says the Gemara, Vafilu Tuva, the end of the Mishnah makes it sound like if you're Yotze Lahatzil, you could be Chozel Mekomen no matter how far it is. Meaning even if you're 10,000 amos away from your original Tchum Shabbos, you can go back. You can go back home. So Vahamrit Reisha, Alpayim Amavasul. But didn't the Mishnah start out by talking about someone who's Yotzei Bereshos, apparently went out for a Dvar Mitzvah, and we said that Yeshlo Alpayim Amal L'Kol Ruach? Sounds like he gets a new Tchum of 2,000 Amals, and yes, we don't, we said that we don't hold like a Rabbah, we hold like Rav Simi Bar Chia, that it means that if his 2,000 Amals overlap with his original Tchum, he'll be able to go all the way back home. But what if it doesn't? He doesn't get to go all the way back home, he only gets his new 2,000 Amals. So what's going on over here? Why does the Sefer assume that he gets to go all the way back home? The Reisha says only 2,000 amos. Some Rabbi Domarav shechozrin b'klei zayin l'mekoman. So Rabbi Domarav explains that it means that the Sefer of the Mishnah is not telling me that he gets to go more than 2,000 amos. When it says that chozrin l'mekoman, the chiddush of the Sefer is that if they went out for to fight a battle to save somebody, they're allowed to bring their weapons back. That's the point. But really, they're not allowed to go back beyond 2,000 amos. So says Gemara, wait a second. My kushya, Dilma lahatzil shayni. What was the kasha in the first place from the Reisha to the Seifa? Maybe the Yotze Bereshus that the Mishnah spoke about is when you're talking about going to do a mitzvah to be made about the new moon for Eidus HaChodesh, or you're going to help a woman deliver a baby. But Bala Hatzil is when you're going to save people from attacking enemies. Maybe we have to be concerned that if we only give you 2,000 amos, so the enemies are going to chase after you, and then you're trying to escape the battlefield. You're trying to get away from everything. So maybe that's why we allow even more than 2,000 amos. What was the kasha to begin with that we said in the ratio of the Mishnah we only give you 2,000 amos, and the Sefer will give you more? Yeah, because the ratio was talking about that it wasn't a dangerous situation that's an ongoing danger. Yeah, you helped the lady give birth, so good, so she has a baby now. You were made on the Chodesh, or you were going to help the lady give birth, you were going to be made on the Chodesh, and it turns out you aren't needed. Whatever it is, you get your 2,000 amos. Over here, you're going to Lahatzil. You're going to fight somebody, so the enemies could still chase after you. That's why we give you more than 2,000 amos. Eli Kasha HaKasha. So the Kasha must not have been from the Reisha of our Mishnah to the Seifa of our Mishnah. The Kasha must have been as follows. Ditnan, Barishon Eloya Zoz Misham Kol Yom Kulo. Originally, they would stay there when they went Chutz L'Tchum to be made on the Chodesh. This is the Mishnah in Meseches Rosh Hashanah, that when they went to be made on the Chodesh, the seeing the new moon, so they would stay there. They wouldn't be able to leave because they already left beyond their Tchum. So Mu'el Zakin came up with the Takana that they get a new Tchum Shabbos of 2,000 Amos. They don't have to stay in the Beis Din. They get a new Tchum Shabbos of 2,000 Amos. V'lo elu bilvad amru ela afilu chachama abba leilid v'abba lahatzil min agayus min anor min abapolus min adleika. And not only that, but even if someone is helping a woman give birth, or a person is coming to save people from attacking enemies, or from a river, or from a caved in building, or from a fire, hare hein ka'anche ir v'yeshlen al payim amal l'kol ruach. What do we give them? We give them 2,000 amos. Oh, so on that we ask, Vesu, lo, we only give him 2,000 amos. But don't we say that in our Mishnah that if you're going lahatil, you get more than 2,000 amos? So the kasha is not from the Reisha of our Mishnah to the Seifa of our Mishnah. The kasha is from the Mishnah Rosh Hashanah to the Seifa in our Mishnah. The Reisha in our Mishnah, the Seifa in our Mishnah, we could have theoretically said that the Seifa in our Mishnah, you're allowed to get more than 2,000 amos because you went lahatil and you're afraid they're going to chase you. But once we have a Beferish or Mishnah Rosh Hashanah that says that even Lahatzil you only get 2,000 amos, so why does the safe of our Mishnah sound like you get more than 2,000 amos? So Gemara has two approaches, two answers to this question. Number one, Amar Rabbi Dam Rav, Shechozer Mekle Zayin L'Mekoman. Rabbi Dam Rav says, you don't get more than 2,000 amos in our Mishnah, you get exactly 2,000 amos, you're allowed to bring your weapons back. That's the Chiddush of the safe of our Mishnah. Ketetanya Barishono Yomanichon Kle Zayin Bebayis HaSomach L'Choma. It used to be that they would leave their weapons in the house that's closest to the wall of the city. As soon as they'd get back in the city, they'd put their weapons down. Pamachas Hikiru Ben Oivim. And one time the enemies realized what was going on, that we were unarmed because we left all our weapons in a house on the outskirts of town. And the enemies chased after us, and there was such a ruckus trying to gather our weapons, trying to get back our weapons. And the enemies came into town, and there was such a panic that people ended up killing each other just in the panic in trying to get their weapons, more than the enemies actually killed us. So they decided at that moment that they're going to make a takana that you're allowed to be chozul l'makoman b'klei zaynan, that you're allowed to bring the weapons all the way back. The Rambam in the second parak of Hilchos Shabbos, Halacha Chav Gimel, says if ba'u nachrim latzur al iskei nefashos, if enemies come to attack to kill us, so yotzim aleim klei zayin umechalim aleim es v'shabbos ula achara atzala mutar lachzor b'klei zayin shalem l'mekomam b'shabbos. You're allowed to bring your weapons all the way back on Shabbos. Why? So you expect him to say because of ma'aseh shahaya, they made a takana. Says the Rambam, because we're afraid that if we don't allow people to bring their weapons back, they're not going to want to go fight in the first place, and they're not going to save the town. So the Achronim asked the Kasha, why does he make up his own reason? It's clear in the Sugya that it's because of this episode that happened, that the Umos Olam were able to cause this terrible panic that killed so many people. It was Maisa Shahaya. Why does the Rambam say Shalom Lachshil Mas Lava? So Pashto says it could be that's what the Rambam means, Shalom Lachshil Mas Lava, that we are closing the Klei Zayin L'Bateim so that there shouldn't be a Mikshel L'Aslavo. What kind of Mikshel? Because in our Sugya, we see exactly what kind of Mikshel could happen, that it could lead to the death of many people. In the Merkavas HaMishnah, he gives a different tarot. It says, when the Rambam says that the reason for the Heter is Kadei Shaliyah Makshilam L'Aslavo, he does not mean to say that's why we allowed bringing back the Klei Zayin, that's why we allowed bringing back the weapons. He's explaining why we were Matil L'Aksol L'Makomim in the first place. Once already the Maisa Atzala is over, why are we allowed to go back? Forget about our weapons. Why are we allowed to go back? That's Lo Lach Shilam La Asadavo. That which it says in the Sugya that the reason of the Heter is Maisa Shahaya, that's explaining why we're allowed to bring the Klei Zayin back. That's not explaining why we ourselves are allowed to go back. This idea, Shlo Lach Shilam La Asadavo, is a part of the broader concept of Yitiru Sofan Mishum Tchilasan, that we want people to go out originally, so that's why we're going to allow a little leeway way toward the end. Tosos on the top of Mem Dalar and Beis raised the question, why in Maseches Beitzah, when we give a list of three things that Itiru Sofen Mishum Tchilasan, why this doesn't make it? Why does Hatzalah not make it to the list of things that Itiru Sofen Mishum Tchilasan? So Tosos says, because the list is full of Chidushim, and this is Pashut. We don't, the list of Maseches Beitzah is only those things that have Chidushim. Dezeinu Chidush, V'kalan Atzrichi, K'damirin Hasam. All of those are necessary Chidushim, and there's a reason why each one needs to be said, the ones on the list, but ours is not such a great chiddush. So again, that's one approach to answering the stira between the Mishnah Rosh Hashanah and our Mishnah. Nachum Yitzchak Amar Lo Kasha Kansha Nitzku Yisrael Asumas Olam Kansha Nitzku Masolam Alatzman. It depends who wins the war. Amravit, meaning the difference is that our Mishnah speaks about a case where the Jewish people lost the war and it's going to be dangerous to stay within 2,000 amos, so we need to get back home. The Mishnah Rosh Hashanah is talking about a case where the Jews won the war and there's no necessity to go beyond 2,000 amos, so the danger is gone. Amrav Yudam Rav Nachrim Shatzar Ale Yoris Yisrael, Ein Yotzma Ale Meklei Zainan, Vein Mechalan Ale Nes Shabbos. If Nachrim come to attack Jewish cities, so we're not allowed to go out and attack with our weapons, and we're not allowed to be Mechal Shabbos. Tanya Nami Yachi, Nachrim Shatzar Vechule, Ba Medvar Mamur Mekshabol Aliskei Mama. And that's only if they're coming to take our money. Aval Bol Aliskei Nefashos, but if they're coming Aliskei Nefashos, they're coming to kill us, not just to take our money. Yotzen Alein Meklei Zainan, Mechal Alein Shabbos. Then we're allowed to go out with the weapons, we can be Mechal Shabbos to fight. If it's a border town, so then even if ostensibly they seem to be coming for money, we're allowed to be Mechal Shabbos, we're allowed to fight for our lives. Amar Rav Yosef Bar Min Yomi, Amar Rav Nachman, Ubavel Ki'ira Smuchel Esfar Damya, V'targumen Arda. Bavel is like a border town, and we mean by that the city of Narda. Dar Shabbi Dustai Dmin Biri, Maiduch Siva Yigidul David Lemar, Hine Plishim Nilchamim Bekiila, Veima Shosim Esagranos. What's the pasuk talking about when it tells us about this Maisa that happened, that they tell David about Plishim attacking, but with the Granos? So Tana Kiila Yeras Muchlas Farhaisa. Kiila was a border city. Veheim Lo Bo Ela Liske Tevin Vakash. Now the Plishim were only coming to attack to take our grain. Duch Siv Veheima Shosim Esagranos. That's what they were interested in. The Granos. So David asked Hashem, should I go? Should I fight? Vayomer Hashem al David, Leich v'ikisu b'plishtim v'shatez kila. Yes, absolutely, you should go fight, defend Klal Yisrael. So Maika Mibayle, what was his shayla? If he was asking, should he go fight? Should he not go fight? Is it mutter? Is it aser to go fight? It's Shabbos, Rashi says. And his question was, should he fight such a war on Shabbos? Says Shabbos Haisa. So what do you mean? He's asking the Urim V'Tumim if he should go fight a war in Shabbos. He has a Bezin to ask. And says Rashi, Umidi de Isser V'Heter Lo Mashayel B'Urim V'Tumim. You don't ask Halachic Shailas to the Urim V'Tumim. That's not what the Urim V'Tumim is for. You have rabbis to ask Halachic Shailas to. You have Bezinu Shal Shmuel Aramasi to ask Halachic Shailas to. Not the Urim V'Tumim. So that could not have been his Shaila. Eli Imitzlach Ilo Mitzlach. No, his question the Urim V'Tumim is what's going to happen? Is he going to be successful in this war? Is he not going to be successful in this war? And that was why the answer was, yes, and you will be able to save them. So Shema Minel, so you see, that must have been his question. Maritz Chayes writes over here that Rashi must be referring to what the Gemara says in Tumur, Daftar Zayinam and Aleph, that they didn't want to be Shol Barum V'tumim, the halachos that they forgot in the Yemei Evlo Shel Moshe, in the days of the Avelus of Moshe, because Torah Lo B'Shamayim Hi. So if it's Lo B'Shamayim Hi, you don't ask Shailas of Urim V'Tumim. Urim V'Tumim is considered to be B'Shamayim. The Urim V'Tumim doesn't get to determine halacha. We get to determine halacha down here on earth. The Chacham get to determine the halacha. So you would never ask a Shaila of the Urim V'Tumim. That's how the Maritz Chayes says. That's what must be what Rashi is referring to over here. That why would you ask Urim V'Tumim? The Beis Dino Shel Shmuel Aramasi is still Kayim. So the Rashash just asked the question that Rashi in our Sugi writes that you don't ask a Dvar Halacha from Urim V'Tumim, but Rashi writes later on that Yoshua was Shoal Eitzel Elazar HaKohen all the halachos. So why would Yoshua go to Elazar HaKohen? Elazar HaKohen is because of the Urim V'Tumim to ask halachos. So the Rashash says, Rashi doesn't mean that he asked the Dvar Halacha Urim V'Tumim. He asked Elazar as a Talmud Chacham. He asked him the Dvar Halacha. Urim V'Tumim, he was Shoal in Yonim Acherim. He asked other things from the Urim V'Tumim. A very different thing. But when dealing with Elazar, so he was asking simple halachos. Now in Avas Esan, he quotes from the Sefer Machna Aaron that says maybe there's a chiluk that in our sugi we're talking about Bezin Shel Shmuel was Kayim, and so when you have a Bezin Shel Shmuel, so you don't ask Urim V'Tumim, you ask the Bezin Shel Shmuel. But when there was no Bezin to be Shol Ba'alacha, so then maybe as a B'dieved you're allowed to ask Urim V'Tumim when there's no Bezin. But the Avas Esan just asks on that the reason not to ask Dvar Halacha Urim V'Tumim is based on Lo B'Shamayim. So then what does it matter if there is a Bezin, not a Bezin? You go to Chacham Shabi Yomecha. You have to trust whoever the Talmidei Chacham are in your generation. position, and you can't go l'shamayim. So he says Rashi must hold that dvar, that there's two different types of dvar halacha. That when it's a brand new halacha, so you can't ask the Urim V'Tumim. But a dvar halacha that's not new, it's just a gilui milsa, like you knew this halacha once and you just forgot what it was, so it's just a gilui milsa bi'alma, so that's not a problem to ask the Urim V'Tumim. That's not called that the Urim V'Tumim is paskening halacha. We have a similar chilik in terms of paskening shailas, right? A person's not allowed to pasken a shail unless he has hetero ra, unless he has the right to pasken shailas. So he's granted the right to pasken shailas. But mara makomilo, to tell someone it says something in the Mishnah Brura, then you look it up in the Mishnah Brura, you see what the halach is, so that you're allowed to do. You don't need hetero ra for something like that. Hora means that you need a shikal adas, you need to analyze, but stambi mara makom, that's perfectly fine. So it's like the Urim V'Tumim could serve the mara makomilo, that you forgot this is what it said, this is what it was, but it's not being mora halacha. To be mora halacha, we can't rely on shemaim. There is a medrash in Esther Rabbah that Achashverosh asked the Chachamim about Vashti, what he should do with Vashti, and they said Adonenu Amelech, Kasheinu Baratzenu Yinu Sholim Urim V'Tumim. Look, if we were in our land, we would have asked the Urim V'Tumim. What can we do? We're in Galus now. We can't ask the Urim V'Tumim. So the Achronim asked, wait a second, they would have asked the Urim V'Tumim about a din, about how to treat Vashti? That's a din. You're not supposed to ask the Urim V'Tumim about a din. So again, it's a medrash, and the medrash probably just means that they had to come up with some excuse. They had to tell them something. So they came up with, we would have asked the Urim V'Tumim, lav davka, that's necessarily the halacha. Now, there is a fascinating discussion in Achronim. Is a king allowed to put his troops in harm's way for a melchemes harashus? In our sugya, we see goyim that come samach l'sfar, even if it's not aliske nefashos, it's aliske tevin v'kash, you're allowed to be yotze b'klei zaynon, mechalon Shabbos to fight with them. And the Gemara proves this from the story with David HaMelech, that he fought with the Plishtim in Ke'ilah, even though they were only coming after the grain, and he went out to save the town of Ke'ilah and the grain from the Plishtim, even though it was Shabbos, according to Rashi. Why? Because it was the Eretz HaSmuch L'Sfar, and it's related to Pikuach Nefesh. So it seems from our sugya and from Rashi that only because it was Shabbos that it would have been Aser had it not been for Pikuach Nefesh. Meaning we only need the Pikuach Nefesh or Smuch L'Sfar because it was Shabbos. Right? Otherwise, regular on Shabbos, you don't go out just to protect money for money's sake. But Frekten et Siv in Merome Sade says, I don't understand. If it wasn't Shabbos, so you're not allowed to, you're allowed to go risk Jewish lives? You're allowed to go, every war, there's a loss of life. So you're allowed to risk Jewish lives over money if it weren't Shabbos? So says the Mitziv in Merome Sada that you see from here that a melech is allowed to fight on Melchamas HaRashos, even Shalob B'makom Pikuach Nefesh. And Sakanas Melchama is not like every other Sakana. Normally when we figure out Pikuach Nefesh, a single Jewish life, that's Pikuach Nefesh, and it's Doche, Kala Torah Kula, Oli Surim in the Torah. Yet we see when it comes to fighting a Melchama, since the nature of Melchama is that there will be loss of life on both sides, and we still see that there's a notion, there's a concept called Melchamas HaRashos. So you see, we don't take Pikuach Nefesh into account in the same way we would normally, in terms of a single Jewish life being Pikuach Nefesh and therefore not being worth the whole thing. This is a major, important Chiddush of the Nesiv. Minchas Chinuch says the same thing in terms of, it's obvious, you have to say like this. How else are you going to understand Melchama, the concept of Melchamas HaRashos? Obviously, we're risking lives every time we go out to Melchama. It can't be that the only time we're ever allowed to go to Melchamas HaRashos if we're 100% certain that there won't be a loss of a single life. That doesn't make sense. There's no such thing in Milchama. So this is a major part of the discussion of land for peace, of whether many of the Gedolei Yisrael held that if the assessment is that you're going to save Jewish lives, even a single Jewish life, by giving back Eretz Yisrael, parts of Eretz Yisrael, most of Eretz, whatever, to save even a single Jewish life, if the honest to goodness assessment is that it's going to save a life, if it's really going to save lives that way, so it's Pikuach Nefesh. Pikuach Nefesh saves lives. The counter argument is, no, this is Melchama. By Melchama, you don't look at one Jewish life. This is a Melchama, and one could argue, Rav Shachter argues in Bikvei Atzon, it's not a Melchamas HaRashos, it's a Melchamas Mitzvah. Because Melchamas Mitzvah, Melchamas HaRashos means that you need to be Shol B'Rim V'Tum, whether you're allowed to fight such a war. Right? That's what Rashos. You have to be Shol Rashos from the Urim V'Tum. Melchamas Mitzvah, you don't have to be Shol B'Rim V'Tum. You can just go out and fight. So he said, L'mashal, let's say, he wrote the article in the 1980s, said, let's say the Russians attacked Washington, D.C. And they said, look, we don't want to kill anybody. We just want Washington, D.C. Just give us Washington, D.C. And no one's going to get hurt. We're just going to take the city. So is the United States of America allowed to defend themselves and allowed to fight Milchama over that? They're not going to... Of course they're allowed to fight a Milchama over that. The halacha is that any Milchama that the Umos Ha'olam fight is by definition... that they're entitled to fight, that they're allowed to fight, is by definition a Milchamas Mitzvah, because there is no Shoal Rishos Burim V'tumim. So that type of war is by definition a Milchamas Mitzvah. So he suggests if they come and say, give us the West Bank, give us this part of Eretz Yisrael, that part of Eretz, give us Yerushalayim, and then no one is going to get hurt, and then we're not going to fight a war. So that's a Milchamas Mitzvah to protect Eretz Yisrael. So the way to define whether it's called Pikuach Nefesh or not is not will a single life be lost, it's will the war be lost. If the military experts say, look, this is a losing battle, we're going to fight the war and we're never going to win, so then if you look at it on that level, so then in a chinami, maybe we shouldn't fight the war. But if it's if the experts believe that we could win the war even though there's going to be loss of life, you can't look at Pikuach Nefesh, says the Netziv and says the Minchas Chinuch, you can't look at Pikuach Nefesh in the normal way we would look at Pikuach Nefesh under regular circumstances. The other major discussion that the Achronim have over in the Sifta in the back, he has a whole analysis from the Satmar Rebbe in Al-Gula Val-Tmura. Needless to say, it's a slightly different analysis than the one I just presented. Okay, but the other discussion over here is, can you be shol b'urim v'tum on Shabbos? David HaMelech went to the urim v'tum to see whether he's going to be matzliach or not be matzliach. How does the urim v'tum work? The letters light up, the letters move over, machlokas samorayim, exactly how it works. Kosev. It's a violation of Ksiva and Shabbos. How are you allowed to do that? So there is a discussion in general whether putting letters next to each other is a violation of Kosev. The Poskim discuss from Moshe Zetshuva in Yisod Yeshurun and also discusses if in shuls where people don't know how to keep up with the page numbers, can you have a sign in the front of the shul where you post the page number that they're up to in the shul? So is that sort of Moshe writes, if you attach catch it in place, so then yeah, that's a problem, that's an issur. If it's loosely hanging and it's not attached in place, so then it may not be an issur on Shabbos. That's the Scrabble shayla, that if it's in the deluxe editions of Scrabble where the letters fit into place, so that could be a violation of Kosev. But if they're loosely fitting, so it's probably not a violation of Kosev. But the fact that they're shol b'urim v'tumim on Shabbos says the Yisod Yeshurun, wait a second, according to Reish Lakish, it's tziruf osios, that should be osur mishum kosev. So he answers based on the Chassam Sofer and the Tshuva. Chassam Sofer and the Tshuva, Chelvav, Simul Chav Tes, asks on the Kash of Tosos in Menachos Dav Lamed, and the Rush and Pesachim also, that it says that the reason they were knowing to say Tzidik Adin, the Mincha, was because Moshe Rabbeinu died at that Mincha on Shabbos, meaning Moshe Rabbeinu died on Shabbos afternoon. So they asked the Kasha, wait a second, on the day Moshe Rabbeinu died, Ben Meya Vashem Shana Anoche Yom Lo Uchal O Lotzeis V'Lavo, and the Gemara Rosh Hashanah says that on that day Moli Yom Avushnosav, and he wrote all these, the Rosh asks, the Medrash says, on that day he wrote 13 Sifrei Torah. How does he allow to write 13 Sifrei Torah if he died on Shabbos? What was going on over there? So Chassam Sofer says, in the name of the Shla, he didn't write, he wrote the Sifrei Torah not stam with ink and a pen, he wrote it al yidei shein, b'derech neis. And anytime it's b'derech neis, it's not a violation of kosev. So based on that, he says, that's what's going on with the Urim V'tumim. You're allowed to be shol b'Urim V'tumim because it was ksiva b'derech neis. Ksiva b'derech neis is not called ksiva. And there's a whole discussion about that. Not every achron says that approach, but okay. Says the Mishnah now, Mishi Yasra B'Darach V'Amad V'Ra, who Samach L'Ir, someone is traveling on the road, and he's sitting down, so he doesn't see how close he is to the city when Shabbos starts. And then, after Shabbos starts, he looks and he sees, look at that, I'm within 2,000 amos of the city. So Rameir says, since his original Kavanah was not to be Shoves in the city, because he didn't realize that he was so close to the city, he doesn't get the Tchum of the city. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Ikanes, Rabbi Yehuda says, yeah, he gets to go into the city. Amar Rabbi Yehuda Maisa, even Rabbi Tarfon below Miskavin. Once happened that Rabbi Tarfon went in without below Miskavin, without having Havana. Whatever that Rabbi Tarfon was in this exact position, he went into the city, spent the entire Shabbos, we're going to see. So Tanya, Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Maisa Rabbi Tarfon Shoyim Mahalich B'Derech. Rabbi Tarfon was traveling on the road, V'chashkalo, V'lanchutz Lir, and it got dark, it became Shabbos, and he went to sleep outside the city, L'shachras Matzu Roi Bakar, and the next morning, Roi Bakar found him. Amrlo Rebbe, Harei Yair Lefanecha, Hikanes. The whole city's right here. Why don't you come in? Nichnas v'yashav beis medrash v'darsh kol yam kulo. So he went in and he sat in the beis medrash and he darshened all day long. So Amrlo Misham Raya, Shema Belibo Haisa, O beis medrash Muvah B'toch Trumo Haya. You can't bring any Raya from there. It could be that Rabbi Tafra knew about this beis medrash and intended to make it his Shabbos residence from before Shabbos, or maybe the beis medrash was within 2,000 amos of his current location, and that's why he dafka stayed in that beis medrash all day long and didn't go around the houses of the city. So that's not a raya that he gets the tchum of the city. Next mission: Mishi yashan b'derech v'lo yada shecha shecha. A person was on the road and he fell asleep and he didn't know that it became Shabbos. Yesh l'alpayim amel l'kol ruach divrei Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri. So Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri says even though he was sleeping, he gets a tchum Shabbos of 2,000 amos in each direction. No, a sleeping person does not get a tchum Shabbos. He just has his makom of dalet amos. Reb Lazar Omer v'hu b'emtzon. Reb Lazar says, and how do you measure the dalet amos? He's in the middle of the dalet amos, two amos in each direction. Reb Yehuda Omer lezer ruach sheyirtze yelech. Whatever direction he wants to go, he could choose which way he wants his four amos to be. Umod Reb Yehuda shembir lo sheni yachalachsebo. Reb Yehuda admits that if he already chose which way his dalet amos are going to go, he can't be chozer in the other direction. Hayushnayim mixas amos v'shalzeh b'toch amos v'shalzeh mevi'in v'ochim b'emtza. If you have two people that their dalet amos overlap with each other, they could bring the food to the place where it overlaps and eat together. As long as they don't go into the other ones' dalet amos that are outside of their own. If you have three people and the middle person's dalet amos are muvla within the other two people's, so the middle guy is mutter with the outer people and they're mutter with him. But the two outer people are not allowed to share with each other because they're outside of each other's dalet amos. It's very similar to having three chatzeros that are all lined up with each other, all open up into each other, and they also open up into Rosh Hashanah. Irvu shtayim imem tzayis, himutar siman ve'imutar sima. If the two outer ones make an eruv with the middle one, so then you're allowed to bring things from the outer ones to the middle one, from the middle one to the outer ones. But ushtayim achitzonos asura zum zu. But the two outer chatzeros are certainly asur to each other. Bayi Rava. So ask Rava the following shayla. My kasav Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri. Mizbar kasav chefzei hefker konin shvisa. What does Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri hold? When he says a sleeping person, when Rabbi Yochanan holds that a sleeping person is given 2,000 amos, so what's his svara? So in terms of, does he compare it to nichsei hefker? So as follows. Mizbar kasav chefzei hefker konin shvisa, that objects of hefker also are konin shvisa, and therefore they also get 2,000 amos, and the truth is, he could have mentioned his shita in regard to kelim. He didn't have to say we're talking about a sleeping person. The whole reason we have this discussion about a sleeping person is to tell us just how strongly the Rabbanan hold their shita, that even a person, I might have thought that since a person is sometimes conscious, he's sometimes awake and conscious, therefore, and when he's conscious, we know he could be kona shvisa, so maybe I should say he's kona shvisa when he's sleeping also and he gets 2,000 amos, come ashmalan alone, therefore comes to tell me that no, if he's sleeping, he's just like a kli that's hefker, that doesn't get anything. Or maybe Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri holds, chefzei hefker do not get shvisa. And over here, Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri himself says, the only reason the sleeping person is kona shvisa is because if he were awake, he would have been kona shvisa. But chefzei hefker would not be kona shvisa. So Rav Yosef Tashma, let's bring a raya where Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri holds. Gesham sheyardu merav yom tov, yeshan alpayim amal lekol ruach, the yom tov harein krag lekol adam. If rain comes down on erev yom tov, so that rain could go 2,000 amos in any direction. If it comes down on yom tov, it's krag lekol adam. So iyan b'shlama kasav Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, chefzei hefker konin shvisa, zif yold Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, says that chefzei hefker do get 2,000 amos, hamani Rabbi Yochanan. So then it's great. It assumes exactly like Rabbi Yochanan. That's why the rain that falls before Yom Tov gets 2,000 amos. It's hefker, so it's like Rabbi Yochanan. Eliam Khafte Hafkar ain't gonna shvisa, how many Lorabi Yochum Lorabana, but if Yol Khafte Hafkar are not gonna shvisa, why would rain that fell on Erev Shabbos get 2,000 amos in every direction? Both the Rabban and Rabbi Yochanan would then be saying that Chafzei Hefker do not get Shvisa. So Yasv Abayi v'kamil al-Hashmeita, Abayi was saying over this Raya, Amalei Rasaf la-Abayi v'dim l'bikshom v'asmuch l'niroskin v'an she'os here, daitim alayu. Who says that this rain was Hefker? Maybe people had intended before Shabbos to be koned this rain. Samalei lo salkadaitach, t'tnan, bor shal yachid karagli yachid, v'shal osir karagli osir, v'shal olibavl karagli amalei, v'tanya bor shal shvatim yeshan al-pama em l'kal ruach. We have a stira in Brises, what we do with water in a bar. Kashina Dadi, it's a stira, Elav Shmamina, Harabi Yochamanuri, Harabanan. So, no, but you see that it's not a stira, it's a machlokas. Whether a bar, whether water in ownerless objects, water in a bar, have their own tchum. That can only be resolved that the Bryce that holds that they do not get a tchum follows the opinion of the Rabbanan. Bryce holds they do get a tchum follows Rabbi Yochamanuri. And that reinforces the idea that Rabbi Yochamanuri holds, Chefze Hefker can get a tchum Shabbos, that they're Konish Visa. Kiyosel Kamed Rav Yosef, Amalei Hachi Kamer Rav Safra, Vachia Hadrilei, Amaleva, so he told them over this conversation, Amaleva, Amailo Temele, Megufa, why don't you just say the following, Raya? Isal Daito Gashamina Smukhli Eraskinon, if you think we're talking about rain that's close to the city, that people in the city already had in mind, Hai Yeshlan Alpaim Aymel Kol Ruach, what would the halacha be? Yeah, they'd get a tchum. What would the tchum be, though? 2,000 amos in every direction from where it is? No. If people thought about using that water, Hakaragle Ancheosi Yemi Baile, then it would have taken on the tchum Shabbos of the people in the city, because it relates to the people. The fact that it gets its own tchum tells you that Chefzei Hefker Kona Shvisa, and that's the Machlokas Rabbi Yochanan Menuri and the Rabbanan. Okay, we'll discuss rain and snow tomorrow, Be'ez Hashem, whether it's Muktzah. Okay.